Who is excited about Christmas? It's just a few days away. Who still has a little bit more shopping to do? Okay. Well, it is exciting to worship in the house of the Lord during this Christmas season. It's a great day to celebrate. We're celebrating the Son being born into this world. Our Sunday school lesson today was from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, as we looked at the what's called the birth narrative. And our message this morning is actually a continuation of what we had started last week. If you remember, we were looking last week at the birth narrative from Luke's Gospel, and we shared a few thoughts there, and I'm going to do the same thing today, just a few thoughts. We're not going to have a full, long message this morning. We want to enjoy some wonderful time of music and celebration and testimony that will come at the latter part of our service, but we want to continue on with what we had begun last time. And again, we're looking at the story of God coming into our world through this child. Not an ordinary child, a special child. We looked last week about the announcement of the angels to Mary and the words of the angel to Mary. And so we pick up our text in Verse 29. Mary says here, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Has anybody in here encountered an angel before? I never have. But every time we see an encounter with an angel in the Bible, it's something that could cause a bit of fear. And Mary, she responded with faith, but she was also troubled. And I think any one of us would be troubled as well, or taken back if we had encountered an angel. Verse 30. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus." The angel says, "Do not be afraid." Again, we see that as a common refrain from angels in the story of the Bible. Often when angels come, people are taken back, surprised, frightened at times. But the angel comes to bring a message from God. In fact, this reaction of fright we actually see in the story of the angels coming to the shepherds in the next chapter of Luke's Gospel. Again, a familiar passage during the Christmas season, reading from chapter 2, verse 10, "But the angel said to the shepherds, 'Do not be afraid.'" You know, imagine if that's the first thing that had to come out of your mouth each time is, "Do not be afraid." It would imply something that maybe cause that fear. "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people." All the people. You mentioned at the beginning of our hour that the gospel message is not just for a narrow select group of people. It's for all people. And all nations, all tribes will come to know the Savior. The angel continued, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in clothes and laying in a manger." What is happening to Mary and to all the world is not something that we need to fear. Even though the angel continues to repeat, "Do not be afraid," it is nothing we need to fear. Instead, the announcement is great joy. Good news of great joy to be to all the people. We mentioned this last time. The interesting thing here is that the angel says that Mary had found favor with God But it was from nothing that she had done. We talked about Mary last week. We said that she didn't have an important family that she came from. She had not done anything to this point in her life that would warrant her being favored as she was. In fact, as we mentioned, her name isn't even given until near the end of her introduction. She didn't have a famous name or a famous family or great accomplishments. What had she done? Nothing. That is the point of the story. God does not favor us because we have earned his favor. He favors us because he chooses to favor us. And this is true of his love for us as well. Isn't that good news? I'm not very lovable. But God loves me anyway. Some of you, I'll just say some of you, are not very lovable. But God loves us anyway, which is a message or a lesson for all of us. We need to be practicing love to everyone, even those who may not be as lovable as we would want them to be. God shows favor to Mary, not because she had done something wonderful and great, not because she had earned his favor, but he chooses to favor her. We could say that God favors Mary because he knew how she would respond to this invitation to come into her life. And I think that's an important thing for us to keep in mind. God is more interested in how we are going to respond when he reaches out and speaks to us and visits us. See, God knew that she would submit to his purposes and his will in her life. And again, it's a principle that applies to us as well. See, God's not really focused on what we have done in the past. God is interested in how we are going to respond to him in the present, how we will submit to his purpose and his will right now, this Christmas season. Are we open and submissive to what God would do with us? The story of Christmas, the story of Mary, is a story of God coming to this world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave, he sent his one and only Son. Now think about the different ways God could have sent a son. He could have sent a son in the same way he had sent the angel. The angel suddenly appeared to Mary. The angel appeared in a dream to Joseph, our lesson this morning. If he had done that, he would have had to repeatedly say on each encounter, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." In fact, if you think about it, when he comes back a second time in the book of Revelation, he comes back in a situation that could cause us some fear. He comes back to hold us accountable. Let's relate this to some of our passages we've been looking at recently from 1 John chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 28, it says, "Now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming." So God could have come as a mighty angel. God also could have come as he is often perceived as coming, as distant and like maybe on a mountaintop. Remember, the Greeks saw their gods as on a mountaintop and separated from him, distant from him. But that's not how God came. How did God come? He came as a child, a baby. He came and he was vulnerable. He was fragile. He came as one of us. He came in a way that we did not need to be afraid, but we needed to welcome him. Timothy Keller puts it this way: God put himself into such a position that we could harm him. He became fragile. He became someone who could become overpowered, who could be tortured, who could be killed. And he was. This speaks not just of the baby Jesus, this speaks to the whole life of Jesus. God became vulnerable to us. He became one of us. And I'll close with this. The angel said to Mary, and as we saw in our Sunday school lesson today, said to Joseph, the child's name shall be Jesus. Now, parents love to name their children. Many couples, it's a long process of talking and negotiating, and there's a joy that comes from of naming your child. Joseph and Mary did not have that opportunity. God is the one who gave to Jesus his name, Jesus. What does Jesus mean? In the Hebrew tradition, the name Jesus in the Hebrew is Yeshua, Savior. Jesus came into the world in order to save. Save from what? Again, I'm sharing some thoughts we mentioned today in our Sunday school class. He did not come to save from oppression. He did not come to save from a Roman occupation. He didn't come to save us from our troubles. A lot of times when we think of being saved, we want to be saved from all of our troubles. We want to be saved from those who would oppress us, those who would burden us, things that would overwhelm us. But the angel said he came to save us from our sins. Sometimes we don't want to be really set free from our sins. We want to hold on to our sins, keep them private, and keep them close. But this child came to set us free from our sins, because really, in setting us free from our sins, we would then be set free from our troubles and that which would burden us and wear us down. So as we celebrate the Christ child, we want to remember that he came as God amongst us. He came in his vulnerableness, in his weakness. We stressed the idea of humility last week. Mary was humble. The Christ child came in his humility in order to set us free from our sins, set us free from that which really burdens us and troubles us. So the celebration of Christmas is a celebration of God coming in. Good news of great joy. Not something to be afraid of, but good news of great joy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your great love for us. A love that manifested itself in the birth of a child. You became one of us. You became vulnerable so that in our vulnerability we can be lifted up. Father, as we continue to celebrate Christmas through this season, as we very possibly get together with friends and family during the holidays, help us to remember the child, not an ordinary child, but God himself, come to walk amongst us, to ultimately die for us, to set us free from our sins. He is Yeshua, our Savior, our Jesus. We thank you so much for the opportunity we have of remembering the great love that he had for us, a love that was seen in his coming as a baby. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.